welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I am your host, Henderson Mann, and with me as always is Kush.
Hello, everybody.
So, video game crunch season's about ready to hit. Hurricane Sandy's about ready to hit. This could be a mess.
This whole hurricane thing just reminds me of the Lewis Black bit about hurricane names. It's like, why do they have these stupid names?
I don't know. Are they really that stupid? They got to name them something.
No, they don't. They don't have to name them anything. It's just a hurricane. This is the hurricane of this date. Here's Hurricane Henderson, man. You better protect your rose bushes, because this one's he's really after those rose bushes.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's gonna be pretty bad. It could be pretty bad. Who knows what's gonna happen?
Yeah. Apparently at 7 p.m. they're gonna be closing down the
subways.
Yeah.
That's strange to me. That's actually kind of scary.
That means that they are taking it serious, but I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention. I've been very preoccupied. And I will say right now that I may be distracted in this episode because I do have the Bears game on right now. Right next to my face.
Fuck the Bears.
Fuck you. I will quit right now.
Fucking Bears beat my fucking Detroit Lions. Fuck you.
You're Detroit Lions? You don't even care about sports.
I don't, but my dad was from Michigan, so we always have to care about Detroit and everything. And the fucking Tigers are getting their asses spanked. It's fucking mass hysteria.
It's dogs and cats living together. That's pretty surprising, though. I'm surprised by the way the World Series is going.
Yeah, fucking way the Tigers opened up cans of whoops ass.
We've just talked about more sports than in the previous 41 episodes, just for the record.
So it's a shame. Yeah,
we played XCOM.
We fucking did play some XCOM.
I posted a video of it.
That we did.
Of how bad I was. Holy shit!
But it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Even if it was nerve wracking.
Yeah, I was like
that first.
You didn't play multiplayer before then, did you?
No, I've never played multiplayer before then. But I've played a lot of strategy RPGs, so.
Mm-hmm.
That might have gave me a slight advantage, a slight one. But also, the first game, had you been able to hit anything that one round, things might have went a little differently.
Yeah. I also just, like, when I was picking my teams, I wasn't really thinking about, oh, these are the kind of players I would actually want. I was just like, I'm going to try out these ones. I've never, like, I wanted to try out the aliens because I didn't really know much about them.
Yeah. And
the mind control one is just so overpowered. I hate that thing.
So you're going to make an entire team of those next round, right?
I wonder how that would do. I feel like there's still that risk that if you get caught off guard and you don't get to move first, then you could just lose everyone because they're not strong in the sense of defense.
I think another problem you had, too, was you kept putting all your guys in a small cluster instead of spreading them out. Like that one time in the very first game when I came in the building and all three of your guys were behind the counter...
I was like, in the first game, I was just really ready to just give up right away. I was just like, forget it. Come on, just kill me. Kill all my guys right now. Stop wasting my time. Let's start over. The second match was fun, though.
Yeah.
And that was a bit back and forth. I think I could have gotten you if you didn't have that stupid mind control asshole again screwing everything up.
Well, you took him out, though, and got your other guy back.
Yeah, but it took a while, and I had to lose players to do it.
Yeah, that's how I feel when I play the single player. Apparently, you finished the game.
I beat it. Posted the ending up on YouTube's.
Yeah.
It just kind of ends. It's like, whatever. My brother sacrificed himself to save the world.
Did I end up getting killed finally?
Nope, you survived.
All right.
And you were a colonel.
You're still alive in my game, too.
Yeah.
How many gifted people did you end up with? Because, man, that takes time.
I think I had maybe like four or something. But, I mean, like two of them were like privates or whatever, the low squaddies that I was never going to use. I just kept checking. The only two main guys I had were my brother, who was a whatever shotgunner. I don't remember what that class is. I think that's just an assault.
I think that's an assault class, yeah.
And then you, who was a gunner, the heavy.
Yeah. So... Yeah,
but I mean, I never really used the powers anyway. I would only use them in cases where I was too far away to get an accurate shot.
Yeah.
So that I could actually, I mean, those are pretty much almost 100% all the time, depending on who you're attacking.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, XCOM's a damn good game. Still a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it's one of those games.
I was looking forward to just finishing it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to move on. Though I do kind of also want to go back and play it on, like, Impossible Classic or just two mixers. That's the way to play it.
Man, maybe. I don't know.
Look, he's so excited to do this podcast.
Oh, it's been a bad, dude. I had a bad Friday night. It caused my game to be shitty last night that I ran, so I'm not having a good weekend, so.
Good, we can finish this quick. I don't know, we have no news. This is the first week we have no news.
I mean, the only news that I could think of is the whole gaming journalism thing, yeah. But I'm so sick of talking about that.
The only thing I want to bring up is, like, I kept trying to think, why does that name, Lauren Wainwright, sound so familiar?
She's been on our own podcast.
I know, she was on our Distributed Failure number 60 when we were talking about E3. Look it up. Listen to it. It may sound like shit. I don't know. I didn't listen to it.
That was a fun show. I remember that show being quite fun.
Yeah.
So, I'm
assuming it's long.
It was pretty long because it was around E3. That's what I remember.
Yeah, it is the E3 show.
And I tried to take up for her on Reddit because they were all making fun of her. They were all talking shit about her because of her Tomb Raider stuff on her page. Look. There's only one person in the world I know is a bigger Tomb Raider fan than me, and that's her. Seriously.
Well, the problem is if she's working for Square Enix, in a sense, and it not really making exactly how, you know.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
that's the problem. It's not about, I don't know what they were making fun of her for, but I do have a problem with her, you know, maybe talking about that in a sense like she is doing journalism about Tomb Raider, but she's actually working for them. I don't
apparently
think that's right, but
something about consultation work or something. I don't know. But
I remember a long time ago, I like stopped following her and something because there was something about her that bugged me, but I don't know what it is, so I don't know.
But I don't know. I almost feel like it's not even gaming journalism anymore. It's somebody said entertainment reporting, and that to me seems more accurate when it comes to gaming. I mean, some people like
There aren't many. Patrick Klepek is like the example of a journalism who actually does research and goes out and does a lot of work and does all that kind of stuff that a journalist would actually need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think more so that it's just a bunch of critics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like movie critics. They don't do journalism. They just give their opinion and hate on everything, and they're just like art house, art house, art house. I don't like big stuff.
And then it's almost how video games become too, because now it's like all about the indie games, because I've heard more about Hot Life Miami or whatever the fuck that stupid-ass looking game is, or what the hell is it? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hotline Miami?
Yeah,
or
something like that. It didn't look that interesting to me until Hayden Dalton said it has a very Drive vibe to it.
Yeah, that's
which just sounds so weird to me. Like, I don't know how it does, but I'm not gonna buy it.
It's super violent, so that's why it's got a Drive vibe. I don't know.
Well, a lot of movies are violent, so.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's like I've heard more about that fucking game this week than I've heard about Assassin's Creed 3 or, you know, games that are coming out like this week or whatever. So I don't know.
Well, it's because that game's out. Assassin's Creed 3 isn't out yet.
I guarantee. But I figured we'd hear something about it since it's a week before it's released.
No, you'll hear nothing but Assassin's Creed 3 when it's out.
Anyway, so we done talking about XCOM?
Yes, we are done talking about XCOM.
So we're going to move on to what I've been playing. And I finished Resident Evil 6. I finished all four campaigns. Ready to put that game on the shelf permanently and never look at it again. And then Big Steven got it. And so me and him went through a couple levels of co-op, and I had a blast in the co-op in this game, which doesn't surprise anyone because five was pretty fun co-op as well. But apparently, I'm starting to think that maybe Resident Evil 6 should be played co-op. I think you'll have a lot more time. Although the problem with Resident Evil 6 and playing it co-op is the fact that the levels are so fucking long. Like the first two levels of Leon's campaign, we spent about an hour and 50 minutes on both of them. So, I mean, you've got to really have time to sit down with somebody to play through an entire chapter.
Yeah.
And, but to me, it's fun. I mean, it may help also, like, I had already gone through the game once, so I had bought some skills and powered myself up a little bit. And so maybe that helped too, because Steven wasn't wasting as much ammo, because I was able to kill him in like two or three shots instead of five or six. So, but I had a lot of fun with just playing the co-op mode in this game. So, I don't know, man. It's such a mixed bag, because I hate the hater on the Resident Evil game, but it was just, after how awesome 4 and 5 were, it just seems like 6 is such a letdown.
Well, but, just look at it as a positive compared to Raccoon City.
I like Raccoon City.
There's something wrong with you.
So, but it's a game. It's definitely fun playing it co-op, and it'll be cheap around Christmas time. So everybody
It'll be cheap around Black Friday.
Yeah, Black Friday. That's what I consider Christmas time, quote unquote.
God, you're what's wrong with everyone.
So. And then me and my friend Sean have been playing some Borderlands 2. We finished that shit up finally. 72 hours on our first playthrough of Borderlands 2. So then we started the Captain Scarlet and her pirate booty. And it's okay for DLC. I just think I've already spent way too much time on Borderlands 2, so it's kind of hard to get excited about spending more time on Borderlands 2 without actually getting some time in between it, because this DLC launched pretty quick, like a month after the game released. It's still good and all. I think the same problem I had with this, the same problem I had with some of the other DLC for Borderlands 1, that after I had finished Borderlands 1 and rolled into the DLC, the levels were so low on enemies that you're fighting that you weren't getting much experience, and that stuff annoys me. I think they should have, you know, planned that out better. Level wise, or at least had it. Hey, you're level 35. Maybe we should.
Yeah, or they just have it adapt to your own level.
Yeah. Instead, it's like, okay, most of these monsters are level 29 to 30, and occasionally you'll fight a couple badasses that'll give you a lot of experience. But it feels like the only time you're getting a lot of experience is when you're doing like the missions themselves and getting experience points for those. And I did try to roll through True Vault Hunter mode a little bit to give that a. That's the mode after you beat the game. It's New Game Plus, where all the enemies are tougher. And that seemed like a lot of fun. Because the enemies are actually harder. You're getting better loot, just like the first game. But I really hate to say it, but man, I think Borderlands 2 may be my game of the year this year.
Until Assassin's Creed 3. I mean, your game of the year just changes all the time. Every week, it's a new game.
So, I don't know, I still love Darksiders 2. I went back and played a little bit of that this week, too, so... and then I played some Dead or Alive 5.
Why?
Because I bought it.
Why?
Because it sounded awesome the way Jeff Gerstmann talked about the story mode.
Why?
I don't know, because it's not that good. I mean, it's good. It looks great. Boob physics are amazing. But, you know, Itagaki's not behind it anymore. So maybe that's another reason why I bought it. Because I can't stand that dude, kind of. But... I don't know. It's not a bad game. It's not my style of fighting games. It's too realistic. It and Virtual Fighter just don't do it for me, I guess, the fighting styles and stuff.
And now they look more realistic.
Yeah. They do. But the story mode is kind of neat. You know, you're doing the. It's very cheesy. But it's kind of like a story mode where you play as each character going through a story. That's like my favorite thing in a fighting game now. If your fighting game doesn't have a story mode like Mortal Kombat or this...
Do they all have their own end cutscenes?
They're not... I don't know. I haven't played that. I haven't played like arcade mode or anything. The story mode is like you fight, you know, three or four battles as a person that's telling a story. And then as you move on to the next character and fight three or four people. So it's just like Mortal Kombat story mode. In arcade mode, there may be an actual... If there's even an arcade mode, I didn't even pay attention. I'm sure it has to be. So, but yeah, it's very interesting. If you like Dead or Alive games, and you're probably really excited to play this. It looks really good, 60 frames a second and all that good shit. So, and then I finally went back and started playing Sleeping Dogs that I had put down for quite a while. And I really do enjoy that game. When I get into it, I just finished the wedding, and that fucking broke me. So that was a pretty emotional.
Quite a wedding.
Yeah, quite a pretty emotional scene there. So,
lots of cherries and strawberries.
That's right, cherries and strawberries
in syrupy form. If you know what I mean.
Oh, I do. So, yeah, but that's kind of all I've been playing this week. Yeah, this is going to be a real short show, guys. I apologize. We just got nothing to talk about.
Yeah, I'm so busy. I'm also, like, before I get on to what I've been playing, I'm thinking about doing that whole Nano Wemo thing, the National, you know, Book Writing Month or whatever the hell that you do in November. Mm-hmm. You got to do, like, 2,000 words a day. Oh, yeah, yeah. You should do it, too.
Nobody wants to read my shit.
You don't have to let anyone read it. It's just, you know, to do it. You can do it. And then and then you can publish it on the Kindle store for 10 cents. No.
Free.
55 cents.
55 cents.
Okay. So, what I've been playing is some Darksiders 2. And I cannot get into that game.
Oh, I so hate this.
And I think part of it is because I feel like I need to invest more than I feel like I can at this time. Like, I have to give more attention to it. Because it does have so much of what I love in games. Like, I love the whole... I love loot systems. I love leveling up. I love all that kind of stuff. But for whatever reason, I just can't get into it. I don't know. I'm looking at my shelf and I'm like, what game can I play that has no story that I can just mindlessly play? Because that's what I want to do. I don't know. It's not like it's a bad game. I just cannot get into it for whatever reason. And I don't know why.
Right now, maybe that's...
Yeah. I don't know.
But then again, you got into XCOM. I don't understand that. XCOM makes me a nervous wreck half the time, so I can't even play it when I'm working through the week anymore.
Well, XCOM is just like the same thing over and over again, and it's no real... I mean, there is a story, but it's not really a story that's worth paying attention to. I mean, I don't care about the story.
Honestly, I love Darksiders 2, but it ain't got much of a story to pay attention to either.
Just a bunch of giant white people. But yeah, and then other than that, I installed Windows 8.
Woo!
Which is the first time I've ever updated an OS.
How much ever. Does it cost? Is it 40? Is that?
I think it's 40. I only had to pay $15 because there was that promotion that if you bought a computer from like June 1st or something of this year, that you would get a discount to upgrade.
You bought a computer?
Yeah, I got that desktop a while back. We've talked about this.
I thought you, the one from iBuyPower or whatever, when you were doing all that.
We talked about this.
No, seriously, I don't remember you buying a new computer.
We did. I'm not talking about it again. Yes, I have a computer, a desktop. But that's what has Windows 8 on it. Mm-hmm. And I like it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. You can get to the regular desktop. There's no problem with that. The App Store. I like the one aspect of the, like, because, you know, it's just a tablet OS. That's what everyone will say. But that you can lock... one, like an app to a side, and then you can use the desktop to the other side, so I can just have this small bar on the left side of my screen that is just Twitter.
Huh.
So I can just always see Twitter going, because that kind of, my Twittering disease has been a bit off ever since I got the desktop and took my second monitor, which I use as a big, like, Twitter screen for the most part, and then used it as my main screen for that desktop. So I like it, and I mean, for $15 it's not a bad price. App Store is interesting. There are games in there too now. You have like some games that are free and then some that cost money, and they're, you know, and Xbox Live and all that stuff, like Microsoft Solitaire Collection, which is weird in the sense that, I mean, I like it that it has more than one kind of solitaire, but it's weird because now this solitaire has ads every now and again. Like, you'll, during play, you might have to watch like a 45-second commercial. Oh, it's like Hulu.
That would get on my fucking nerves.
But it's not that often. It's like maybe when you first start up, and that's it. And then if you don't, you know, come back after a long time, then you'll have to watch one. But I like it. I like solitaire games, so that's fine with me. And it's free. You know, it would be nice if maybe there was an option to remove that, like pay a little, Mm-hmm. Though at the same time, Windows has always come with Solitaire and Minesweeper for free with no ads. So
Minesweeper's got achievements too, right? Yeah.
There are a whole bunch of different ones, and there are quite a few free ones too. They also have Jetpack Joyride, which is in here. Which is the annoying thing about some of these games, like especially like Jetpack Joyride, is that there is like no controller support.
Hmm.
You'd think maybe like a game that is Xbox Live would actually have controller support built in.
I wonder if they're going to release like a lot of their phone games onto the. I mean, I guess they can't without knowing everybody has a touch.
I mean, they could. But, you know, if they just because it could be very easy to implement. The controls into those kind of games like Jetpack Joyride is touch the screen to move the character up. So mm-hmm. instead you just hit like the space bar. So it's, I mean, it's that simple. I mean, there might be some games, but for the most part you could still do it. And even with touch, you just use the mouse and then move it when you click.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I would be interested if they added more Xbox Live, or Live support.
There's Angry Birds in there too. The space one, whatever it is, Angry Birds Space. $5. So yeah, I mean, it's I don't hate it. I like it. It's not bad. I think there are a lot of people who just shit all over it and call it Tablet OS.
They shit all over it because it's not by Apple. Now everybody shits all over Apple when it's the iPhone.
It's the one thing I don't think is that good about it is that I think it could be good for new people coming to PCs and like the older crowd, but there is like no tutorial in it. So it's something that I think could be easy to learn with a little bit of time, you know, with some directions, but there aren't any. I mean, there's like this, the charm bar, which has all your settings and kind of stuff that it doesn't really tell you about or how to get to it, which is annoying. I figured it out on my own, but it's kind of an important thing.
But you can get to the desktop. You don't have to have that.
Yeah, I mean, the desktop is, like, I'm looking at my screen right now, and I'm on the desktop part. You don't need to use the whole the Windows 8 interface.
Yeah.
You don't have to do
that. So that's what I think a lot of people, I know that's
just the start menu. That's in replace of the start menu. That's what that is now. That interface is the start menu.
Gotcha.
So you press the start menu key on your keyboard, that's what comes up. There's no more start menu. But you still have your regular desktop, and when I was installing, the one thing I was worried about is that maybe some of my software would not be compatible, but everything was pretty much compatible. All but like my one, well, ironically, the one antivirus software I had. But yeah, I've been enjoying it so far. And I know that one of the big things about it that I don't think a lot of people think about or really even care about is that it's a lot. It doesn't take as much on resources as Windows 7. It's a lighter OS, which is something I'm excited for. I don't know if I'd say I'm excited for, but I like to have that.
Awesome.
It's 23 minutes in. We've already lost. We're already like dying. This is terrible. But I also play the Xbox Live indie game. It's called Lucky. And
I tried to watch the video for that.
It starts with you standing by. Yeah, yes, you standing outside of bed with a naked woman, which I know.
Now that's not ever happened again.
But yeah, and then she just is like, "Oh, you're gonna die," and then you die running in a ridiculous way, and then you're in like I guess a purgatory thing, and you have to figure out shit in a point and click kind of adventure. The visuals aren't that great. It's horribly implemented. The story is just ridiculous. The writing's ridiculous. The controls are a bit wonky. Like, it's hard to, like, I'm trying to move forward, and there's, like, a very specific, like, pixel area that I have to click in to actually get there. Huh. Whatever. Just watch the video. I also found out that one of my older videos that I did was, like, I Miss My Girlfriend.
Yeah.
That game was taken off pretty quickly, I guess. So I have history in that video. Who knows how many of those videos exist, because that game is not playable or anything. You can't get it anymore.
I wonder why it got taken down.
Because it was a piece of shit.
So it's half Xbox Live indie or indie games.
Oh, half is being generous. I saw some movies. I saw Seven Psychopaths.
That's one where they steal a dog, right?
Yeah.
Just for walking.
Which I really enjoyed, though I didn't enjoy as much as in Bruges. I think part of the problem for me, at least, was that there's a bit too much going on because there there's so many psychopaths and there's so many characters, and it's just a bit crazy. So,
are there seven or are there just six? And then it's one that's kind of, you know, the dog's a psychopath. What?
Well, there are seven, except one ends up, spoilers, being two of them.
What? Oh my God, did they just pull a Fight Club on us?
But and shit gets really crazy in the end. But like, there's some of the stories are not really related to the actual storyline. Like, there's this story about a psychopath Vietnamese guy who doesn't ever actually interact with the people in the regular story.
Okay.
So that's just kind of a weirdness thing, and it's also sort of the director Martin McDowell. I think, I don't know if that's exactly his name, but it might be a few letters off in the last name. But he, Colin Farrell plays him in the movie, so it's kind of on the nose or whatever. But it's good. I also saw Argo, which was a good movie.
That's the Ben Affleck.
Yeah, the one about the
get some students out of
Students.
They're not students?
No.
Oh. That's right. There's.
I don't remember because I wasn't alive then, and I don't remember. I saw the movie so long. No, but it's good. It's a bit long, but it's pretty good. I think it's just another movie proving that Ben Affleck is a much better director than an actor. Though he does an okay job in this movie. Though apparently, I think he's playing like a Mexican guy, which is kind of ridiculous. That's the only thing that kind of annoys me about his movies is that he has to star in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish he wouldn't. But it's a good movie. That's it for movies. You've been watching The Walking Dead Season 3, I assume.
Yes, I have. I've watched both episodes.
Yep. That'll be the new one today.
Yeah.
It's definitely good now, I'd say. I legitimately enjoy this season.
Yeah, there was a couple of key moments in this last episode that I loved, so...
Yeah.
But
it's much better, and it's much more action-heavy for anyone who maybe stopped watching the show because of that.
Yeah, I hate people that quit watching shows because they're not action-heavy anymore. Sometimes shows don't have to all be action-heavy.
Yeah, I don't think that it had to be action-heavy, but I thought it had to be less stupid-heavy.
So, I mean, yeah. there's some things in the season, first season of Walking Dead and stuff that I didn't, or second season as well, like the...
Well, spoilers on the second season, because it's over, the third season started, so if you haven't caught up, then you really don't care.
Right. So,
the way Lori reacted is just fucking ridiculous. It makes no sense when, like practically two episodes, she basically said, you're going to have to kill him. And then she's like, you're a monster.
Yeah. And then, like, even, like, the first season, I had some problems with some of the stupid ideas they came up with. Oh, we got to get through here. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to cut these zombies open and put all these guts on us, because to me, that just wouldn't work.
Yeah. Well, the zombies in this story really don't make sense. Like, at that one point when they were in the high school in the second season, they started running. When did they learn how to run? And the way they know a human is food or whatever, I don't understand.
Right.
Like, how do they know? How do they do it? Is it through smell? Because if it's through smell, when they were all hiding under the cars, they would have smelled them.
Right.
If it's through blood, then there are plenty of other times when they should have just been, like, going crazy right away, when they should have smelled that. So, I don't understand how zombies know humans are meat. I don't understand it.
Well, you know they can obviously see people, because you'll see them look at people and watch them, so...
Yes, especially, but I still don't understand, like... It just,
maybe it's just the way we move.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, because then you're just going to walk like an idiot, and then you're fine.
Hey, that was the last thing you earned in Dead Rising, level 50.
Mm-hmm.
Walk like a zombie.
But, yeah, I'm enjoying the season. I'm actually looking forward to the new episodes, whereas season 2, I was just like, let's get this shit over with. It's all ridiculous.
Yeah. Any books, comics, or written crap we've listened to or watched or read?
I read Devil in a Blue Dress by Walter Mosley.
That's an old book, isn't it?
Yep, I think it was also turned into a movie with Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington. Yep.
It's all right. I'm not really much of a crime mystery reader, so I don't know how these books tend to be. Like, for me, I just felt like everything was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's just the way all mystery things are, if I'm just, I don't know, conditioned to expect everything to happen the way it ends up happening.
Yeah. Man, I can't wait for a book to come out, because I haven't seen anything I've really felt like reading almost since I finished all the Game of Thrones books. I know the new Dresden File comes out in December, so I'm excited about reading that. Or is it November? I think it's November.
I need to get one of those. I need to get the first one on Kindle. I don't know how much it costs. If it's too expensive, fuck it. I'm not getting it.
I think it's like $7.
Man.
Or you can get like the whole like first half run of all the books for like 50 or some shit like that.
I don't know. I hate buying collections on Kindle. I prefer individual books.
Yeah. Apparently the Kindle books, Kindle versions of those books are terrible if you buy them all together in the.
There usually are. I don't like it like that. I know they have that for Game of Thrones, which I wouldn't get. I think they have that for Hunger Games, which I wouldn't get. So. I have the Paperwhite. I never ever mentioned that. I love that thing.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, the reason, like, I gave my old Kindle to my mom because I wasn't really using it, because one of the places I really read a lot is in bed at night, and I don't mm-hmm. I don't have a light by my bed. And I
oh,
don't
does
wanna,
it light
I don't
up?
Have, yeah, it has a it has a backlight which doesn't shoot outwards; it shoots inwards or whatever. It's their own patented technology.
Nice.
So it's very
cool. I was wondering why
it doesn't. It's so cool because it doesn't radiate light at you. It just lights the sheet, so it's like magically lit.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Huh. That's what I was wondering, is because it looked. I mean, I was like, why is that so expensive? Just because I was like, did they just put a white screen on the background or something, and that's why it mm-hmm. is so expensive? But now I see why it's more is expensive as it is.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about getting me a Kindle Fire.
I wish it was on the smaller model, because I just found out through one of my fellow classmates that just baffled me, is that for the LTE one
mm-hmm.
that you can get like 5 gigabytes a month for a year with 1 yearly fee of $80, which is ridiculous. That is super cheap. And if you were only going to use like 250 megabytes a month, like if you were only going to do email, Twitter, that kind of stuff, that's $50 for the year,
mm-hmm.
which is really cheap. When it's like the iPad, I think it's like $30 a month. So, yeah. You know, 2 months and you've already paid more. But it's only available on the 8.9-inch one for $500. I wish it was on, like, the, you know, $200 one.
Yeah, that's if I get a Kindle Fire. I just want it to read books, and also it'd be nice to have when I'm running my games to put PDFs on for the books that I own and stuff. Yeah. So
I'm very interested to see where the Microsoft tablets go with Windows 8. I think there's a lot of potential.
Are you talking about the Surface or
all of them in general?
Yeah, Surface I think really got hurt by their price point. People really seem to rally against that all as soon as they.
I don't think the price point's that big of a problem, because it's no different than the iPad.
Well, that's exactly.
I think the problem is that it's only available online and in their 16 stores. So it's not like you're going to be going into Best Buy and picking it up.
Yeah, but
and I'm more excited to see where the motherfucker. I'm watching the Bears game. It was a horrible pass. It's like they just ran like 70 yards. Nobody cares though. But yeah, I'm much more interested to see version 2.0. See what happens with that.
Yeah.
I think what people are more upset about with the pricing is the price of the cover, the type cover. Because that's that makes it $100 more. And if you, or like maybe like the one that has capacitive keys is like $130 more. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what really interests me about the Surface 2 mm-hmm. is to have this cover that actually has physical keys you can feel when you press, but is super thin.
Yep. It looks interesting, but I was like, man, I might want to pick one of those up eventually, and they seen the price. I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah, I think they really need to find, either make it themselves or somebody has to come out with a equivalent to the Fire and the Nexus 7, a $200 model.
Speaking of technology, so when you getting your new fancy smancy iPad 4, huh?
Yeah, I'm not. It's fucking nonsense. It's so ridiculous. I mean, Apple, I mean, it's nothing new, but they're the most anti-consumer company in the business, and yet consumers flock to them like crazy. I mean, all I have is the iPad. I don't have an iPod Touch. I don't have an...
I have
the Shuffle, which I use for, like, exercising or stuff like that, so...
I did get my iPhone 5, by the way, which I didn't
get. Did you hear the iPhone 6 came out? It came out yesterday.
I gotta go order it now.
It's ratio size is 24:7.
Did they take away features?
And it looks like a banana. It's curved. It's curved like a banana.
So it looks like the PS3 Boomerang controller.
But not as long.
Well, then it fits my lifestyle.
There you go. It's
not as long either. But yeah, I like my little iPhone 5. I mean, I don't see that much difference from 4 besides the size. But my home button was getting to the point where it wouldn't work half the time.
You have an extra row of icons.
Yeah, you do have an extra row of icons. So, and I run a lot of my role-playing game off of it. I have a couple of the D&D apps for, like, calculating experience and treasure and stuff like that. So, it's quite helpful. Yeah.
So, I just remembered we have questions.
We do?
Yeah.
This may not be the shortest show ever.
No, it still will be.
Oh,
so,
before we get to questions, though, I want to give a shout-out. Jared Storm, Mr. Ballsack himself from Distributed Failure Days.
I don't want to think about that ever.
Well, his balls actually did something good. He had a kid last night.
Okay, I was about to say.
So he had a little baby boy named Paxton, 8 pounds, 11 ounces, I think. So, and they both look like they're doing well. Cutest little thing I've ever seen. So,
sure it is. And then you'll say that to the next person who has a baby.
I will not. But congratulations, even though Jared can be a dick sometimes. And balls, apparently. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, our first question is from Lunchbox. And it is, has the generation had a perfect game, in your opinion? Not necessarily best game, but a game that achieved everything it was trying to do flawlessly. For me, I don't know. I'd have to think about it more. But very close, but not exactly as flawlessly as it could have been, is BioShock. I think
the final boss
was, you know, not that great, but I think everything other than that was fantastic, and it's one of the most memorable games I've ever played. And I'm one of the few who loves the short 30-second, you know, CGI ending. The good ending.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the perfect way to end it. I did not need more than that. I thought it was very beautiful.
I also have a
soft spot for Enslaved.
I think, to me, maybe Grand Theft Auto 4 as well.
Yeah, I think, like, the way the question is, like, achieved everything it was trying to do flawlessly, you could say 50 Cent, Blood on the Sand. They achieved what it was trying to do.
And maybe the first Dead Space, too. I love Dead Space, too, but I think the first Dead Space really nailed with that horror aspect and that old Resident Evil feeling and made you feel like, oh, they made a very polished game.
Cabela's right out the gate. Dangerous Hunts 2012. That really...
Get the fuck out of here.
That really highlighted the entire year when it came out.
Now you're just being facetious.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of other ones that I don't know.
Dark Souls.
No.
Well, yeah, it did. I think
the original Darksiders, but maybe more so that was just like a pleasant surprise that, I don't know.
Darksiders, I think, is another one of those examples where I think they did hit what they wanted to do. They wanted to make a Zelda-type game, and they did a really good job with that. So, to me, yeah, I could agree with that. Darksiders 2, though, may be like the perfect style of game for me because I just love that it has a lot of my favorite elements. It has Zelda. It has the God of War style combat to me and the loot and stuff like that. That's kind of a lot of stuff that I love about role-playing games and stuff. So in a way, it may not be perfect. It's not going to be the one that people – the way that his question's phrased. But to me, that is kind of the perfect game for me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The perfect style of game.
The first Dragon Age I really dug.
Oh, God, that game was so fucking amazing.
And on PC, it's, you know, Very, very, very nice.
Very, very nice. That's right, I broke out the Borat.
Coltsup Saga.
Get out of here.
That achieved everything I wanted to do. I'm still so annoyed that it's never come out on iPad. It's perfect for a touchscreen. And I know there was like a DS version that never came out to the States, which pissed me off.
Oh, poor baby. Alright. What do we got now?
I would also say it was out on PS2, but it came out late when this generation already started with Persona 4.
Get out of your naming shit.
No, that game is fantastic. That's one of the best games out there.
Just naming it fantastic.
Well, yeah, well, why don't you go fucking play Boogie Bunnies? That's your shining example.
Hey, don't fucking knock Boogie Bunnies, goddammit.
I'm going to knock it all I want. And you want to know why? It's because we have a voicemail. Listen to it, bitch.
Henderson Man!
God.
Why the fuck would you think Boogie Bunnies is a good fucking time? Why? Fuck!
What I want to know is... Did he listen to some old episode, or did you talk about this game recently? Like, how in the hell did all of a sudden Boogie Bunnies come into play? I don't get it.
He has to have watched an old episode or like an older episode that had the intro, because Boogie Bunnies was a good time. I say that at one point, so that may be where you hear
Boogie Bunnies is $10, and it was a good time.
I still stand by Boogie Bunnies being a fun game when it came out. In fact, I even played it some this year. So fuck all y'all.
There you go. That's his flawless game of this generation. It's
that's
Boogie
right.
Bunnies.
Boogie Bunnies. There's never been a more perfect game than Boogie Bunnies. They boogie and they're bunnies, and it accomplished everything it needed to do.
Look, he's getting all angry. He just beat Halo. We have one more question, and this is from My Last Thought on Twitter's.
Ooh.
And it's a long one. He left it on the site. So it's more than 140 characters. The Walking Dead game by Telltale has been a huge hit. Given the events of Episode 4, I'll try to be as non-spoiler as possible here. Every player Lee's character is pretty much lumped into the same bucket. Given that the game pretty much has to play out with how previous player choices affected their groups at this point, how do you think Telltale will attempt to wrap up the series? Will it be business as usual, or perhaps maybe the chance to jump into another character's shoes like Kenny and try and help out Lee? Maybe they could take control away from the player for a segment and let previous choices completely dictate what happens between characters without user input. The last episode is coming soon, so my question is, what could they do to spice up the ending?
I don't think they really need to spice up the ending. The way the fourth one ends, which I'm not going to give a spoiler away, sets up perfectly for that same tone of the game. So I don't really see them doing anything magnificently different than what they've been doing. And also, I mean, certain characters didn't make it to the end of the game with me. Like, you have to make that last choice, and depending on what you say to people and stuff throughout the whole game is what happens, and certain characters, like Kenny, did not make it to the final area with me, so it seems. So, I don't know if that may have bearing on it as well. So, I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens. But, have you played 3 or 4 yet,
Gush? No.
Damn.
I was thinking about picking up. I don't know. I kind of want to just say, forget buying the episodes individually now and get
the game.
And I think, like, I wish it wasn't only at GameStop, though, the Collector's Edition, because that's a pretty good deal to get that 48-issue compendium, however it's called. That's pretty good, and it's an exclusive cover and all that stuff, so it's pretty nice. And I wouldn't mind, I mean, I've only read up to the first collection worth of comics, the first hardcover one that was, I really love those hardcovers, because they're very beautiful, they're black and white with, like, one color in them, but I've only read that first one, so I don't really know much of the comic.
It's definitely a nice set, but I can't see spending all that money to buy a collector's edition of the game that I've bought all the individual pieces to, so
since I've only bought two, it wouldn't be that much different. And that buying that book alone, you know, is like $100 retail, yeah. I think so.
Yeah, it's definitely a good, great deal, but so yeah, like I said, just business as usual. I think I don't think they're gonna knock anything else out of the park. The story is what matters in this game, and it's created a story that's made me cringe and feel sad and everything, which usually doesn't happen in a lot of video games. So.
How long were episodes 3 and 4? Usual 2 hours.
Yeah, about 2 hours. I think 3 was a little longer than the rest of them. 4 wasn't. 4 maybe a little long. I mean, 3 was a lot longer, I think, than the other two, maybe. So maybe like 2.5 hours. Maybe pushing 2:45. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But 4 was about 2 hours and 15 minutes or so.
Alrighty.
And I could be wrong, too. I don't know. It's been a while since I played them, so. They just seemed longer.
Yeah.
Because most of them I finished in one setting, and I think of the last two I finished in like two settings because I ran out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, I've finished every one of them within the week that they came out, even with PAX and everything. I finished 3. So,
well, that's it for questions.
All right. Also, congratulations to Hotcakes Man, who actually made it back to Canada.
Yes. Yes. Muchos congratulations.
I wish it was for
I don't know why I was going in like a Mexican Spanish accent.
I wish it would have been for better circumstances, but, you know, hopefully everything turns out well and, you know, so. What can you say?
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, I think that's going to be it. Let's do our...
Pluggies.
I couldn't think of the word plugs. Damn. Yeah.
Plugs. You put them into sockets. And they go...
I still think Cosby Co-op. Yeah.
Cosby Co-op?
Yep. Still, we need to still play games as you talk, Miss Cosby. I'm telling you.
We have to find a good game.
Magnificent.
I don't know. It should have co-op. And then we play the fucking... That Sour Patches game. You do a Method Man impression. Yo, dog.
I do a who impression?
Method Man or whatever. Is it Method Man or Red Man or one of them's involved?
Oh, they do
that.
The song. Yeah. But that did make me think, though. Somebody posted on Reddit that a guy has been doing, him and his buddy have been doing Borderlands 2. Mm-hmm. One of them doing the voice of Morgan Freeman and the other one doing Christopher Walken. So I don't know how funny that is, but it sounds hilarious. All right. Yeah. Cool. What are you plugging?
PixelatedSausage.com, PixelatedRadio.com. On the Twitters, I'm at Kush3, sites at Peace Sausage, and the podcast is at Pixelated Radio. You should also check out some other awesome podcasts like the Signed In Podcast at SignedInPodcast.com, the Pull List Podcast at pseudoradio.blogspot.com, the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Cast at TwoHeadedNerd.com, and the Undercover Unitards at... I don't know what the website is, because he told me that whatever site was wrong, so it's all on him. Go ask Hotcakes Man on Twitter. Oh, shit.
All right.
There's a fumble in the end zone. And also, you should check out the YouTube. Check out the YouTube for Pixelated Sausage. Lots of
some
fun videos on there.
And more pixelated playtime may be coming up between two of us when we find some games to play.
Yeah, you should also, if you have any recommendations for what we should play, you should give them, because we have a lot of games, so we could very well have what you recommend.
50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Yeah, we could do that. And I never mentioned it, but I have pixelatedplaytime.com, which just goes to the video page on Pixelated Sausage, which has embeds of a whole bunch of the different playlists, like video game endings and some previous, the Pixelated Playtime and stuff like that. And even the classic N Plus Sausage.
Nice. And I want to say Twitter, everything, Henderson Man, you can find me there. If there's a thing, it's probably Henderson Man if you're looking for me. So, anyway, I guess that's going to be it for the show.
Yes,
Next episode will probably be a little longer because I will have shit to talk about.
Fucking there'll be Bears Halo, are losing.
Halo 4 will be out. Assassin's Creed 3. And definitely Most Wanted. So, that's going to be it. Adios. Yeah. Motherfucker.
Adios. Okay, buddy.